this morning. This was a piece of music that we had planned way back in February 8th, the previous lifetime. This band, formerly known as the Whimsy Band, they've now renamed themselves the New Transcendentalists. And this is a song, by the way, that acronym is TNT, okay? So they've been practicing for a long time, and also during the song, our own Jennifer Ryan Brown is gonna be signing for us, so you can look at her as well. This is a song by one of my all-time favorites, the artist Jackson Brown. This is a song called For a Dancer.
Keep a fire burning in your eye. Pay attention to the open sky. You never know what will be coming down. I don't remember losing track of you. You were always dancing in and out of view. I must have thought you'd always be around. Always keeping things real by playing the clown. Now you know where to be found.
I don't know what happens when people die. Can't seem to grasp it as hard as I try. It's like a song I can hear playing right in my ear, but I can't sing. I can't help listening. And I can't help feeling stupid standing round, crying as they ease you down. 'Cause I know that you'd rather we were dancing. Dancing our sorrows away, right on dancing.
No matter what fate,
there's nothing you can do about it anyway. Just do the steps that you've been shown by everyone you've ever known, until the steps becomes your very own. No matter how close to yours, another steps have grown.
In the end, there is one dance you'll do alone. Fire for the human race. Let your prayers just drift into space. You never know what will be coming down. Perhaps a better world is drawing near, and just as easily it could all disappear, along with whatever meaning you might have found. Don't let the uncertainty turn you around.
The world keeps turning around and around. Into a dancer you have grown, from a seed somebody else has grown. of your own. And somewhere between the time you arrive and the time you go,
may lie a reason you were alive, but you'll never know.
Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they do not want it. What seems conceit or bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no ears have heard and no eyes have seen. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. So forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That is how the light gets in. Beautiful song from our new transcendentalists. Thank you so much. Jackson Browne wrote this song all the way back in 1974, so I was 3. Just to let you know how old I am. And he wrote it after the death of a friend, someone he thought who would always be around, which is why he writes, "I don't remember losing track of you. You're always dancing in and out of you. I must have thought you'd always be around, and now you're nowhere to be found." Ever have that feeling? I have. But before your shoulders slump and your head hangs low, and as you wonder here in this winter of our discontent, if this is going to be a sad, poignant sermon about death following a sad, poignant song about death, I want us to cheer up, okay? Because if you're a baseball fan, everyone is reported for spring training, even including Sox owner John Henry, who's got his fedora on, if you saw. And in a mere 12 weeks, we'll be thinking more about shoveling mulch than shoveling snow, which is to say, look, my friends, look forward and look up and look around, because hope is not something that you have because of the world. Hope is something you have in spite of it. But back to the task at hand, which is gathering us from the words and melodies of Jackson singing, "I don't know what happens when people die," singing about his friend who he says would have rather have everyone dancing than crying, or dancing than weeping, dancing than grieving, dancing, he says, your sorrows away. And I want us to ask you, is that possible, to dance your sorrows away? Can a person do that? Have you ever danced your sorrows away? Now, many years ago, as many of you know, my first ministry was in Erie, Pennsylvania. And though they were good people and I was trying to be a good minister, it was a tough time for all of us. One afternoon, midwinter, a winter that saw 208 inches of snow. It puts it in perspective. I came home from the church on one afternoon, particularly weary and frustrated, thinking that by going there, I had probably ruined my life, and I had ruined Karen and little baby Emerson's life and the church's life. You ever have a day like that? Therapists call this mode of thinking catastrophizing. But back then, I just thought I was being honest with myself. And so I walk up the side steps of this apartment we were renting. It was a beautiful but run-down first floor of a big home built when Erie was, along with Buffalo, teeming with all the wealth and the hope of the late 19th century industrial age, and had since declined. Before I see anything, I hear the music behind the door, and then I peer through the window pane, and I see Karen and Emerson, who's just two at the time, and he's going to high school next year, which just, where does the time go? And they were twirling and jiving to this song. If I had any sense, we would just play that and then go down for coffee. Now, when I heard that and saw that, did my sorrows get danced away then, even for just a little while? Watching them laugh and jump, there's wallpaper peeling around them. There's snow upon snow outside. There's not a soul in the city that we knew except for the 98 registered members of that congregation. Our little Honda Civic still bearing the Massachusetts plates that I could not bear to take off because I couldn't let go of the life that we had back here. Did their dancing, did their joy take away just a little bit of my sorrow? It definitely did. But look, I know that not all sorrows are the same. I get that, and I know that you get that. Back in early February, when I wrote a first version of this sermon, before we ended up canceling service because of Storm Nemo or Neptune or some other dumb name, who is it that names these storms anyway? I was thinking about this rabbi in Wellesley who I had met. We took our neighboring faith kids there to this synagogue there, and he officiated at a service for that Brigham women's doctor we might remember who was killed by the son of one of his patients. Remember that in late January? And in the service, in the story, they put it in the Boston Globe. The rabbi, who was just great, quoted this ancient Jewish poet, and he said, "It is a fearful thing to love what death can touch." It's a profound quote, isn't it? Why is that? Because what you love and who you love, it's always vulnerable. Because we don't know what happens to us after we die. By the way, when you ask me, I don't know. And because we worry that Jackson Brown might be right when he sings that in the end, he says, there is a dance we'll do alone. I have been thinking and feeling this with you for much of the year as illness has walked in through the front doors of our sanctuary, and it's climbed into the pews with some of us, and it has shaken our pillars of the congregation, yes, and maybe also pillars of our faith, however you want to define the word. Newish folks in our midst, folks who may not have been here long enough in this community to know the stories or the names, please know that you sit in a room that has been nurtured, tended, prodded, cajoled, and cared for by these pillars with each of you in mind, so that this Unitarian Universalist faith on a hill would be vibrant enough and open enough and healthy enough and happy enough to receive you and not be the best kept secret in town, or the kind of church where newcomers enter at their own peril, or thank God you're here, new person, because, oh, look, you can now be our new treasurer because we're desperate here kind of church. That all of that gets the airtime and drives newcomers in our midst to the mall or to the slopes or to the soccer fields rather than worship on a Sunday morning. And you know what? Who can blame you? Who could blame you if that were true? But when these pillars get sick and prepare one day soon to die, and yes, I am now speaking of our own beloved Pat Manley, who sent a letter to many of us this week saying goodbye as she enters hospice. It just breaks our collective congregation's heart. And you don't need to know her to feel that. Because even though we live in a culture that loves to celebrate the individual and the selfie and the me over the we newcomers and oldcomers are decidedly not your Apple version of the I church. And here's what this looks like in practice. I want you to know and to be reminded that despite the fact that it's a fearful thing to love what death can touch, in the end, at least in this congregation, we will say that you cannot and you will not dance alone. That is our promise to you. So we visit each other, and we bring heaping plates of pasta with tinfoil that's wrapped over the top. Oh, you're gluten allergic. Let me go back home and make you a new one. And here we don't give each other reasons or blame God for why bad things happen. And we admit with tears in our eyes that sorrow and suffering, you know, they're a part of life. They are not a punishment for a way of living, we say. And we practice in this place the beautiful words of Rabbi Kushner, that religion and God offer us not protection from bad things, but they do offer us presence. And we offer this presence in innumerable ways. We do. Rides to doctor visits, held hands in waiting rooms, vases of flowers dropped off at your doorstep, bags of ice melt against your garage door, and letters that we sign with the postscript, your broken-hearted sister. My friends, it is a long and wondrous list of the ways that we are present to each other. We are a strong dancing partner. Which isn't to say that we won't step on your feet from time to time. Which is why we also believe in that other, and I got this from Heather, that other F word. Want to know what it is? Forgiveness. All of which reminds me again of one of the great privileges of ministry, and this isn't just for those of us who have the fancy garb, it's all of you, all of us are ministers. And the ways that we get to be with each other and for each other at the high points of life, think fast dance, and the hardest but most full of tenderness points of life, and I want us to think of slow dance. Like some of you, I got to dance a little with Pat this week after her letter went out on Tuesday. And I spent 2 hours across the couch from her, she reminiscing about her years as president of this congregation and me having just arrived fresh from Erie doing my own version of the Dancing Queen every time I arrived at work, because it wasn't snowing back then. Never mind all the work that we had as a church to do. Never mind that a good number of you referred to me as the boy minister because I looked and was so young. Never mind that our internet at the church was still dial-up. Kids, you can ask your parents what that was. Never mind that Pat would call me most every day, and it got actually pretty annoying, with a new idea for some new program. And I, with a new baby at home, I would tell her, I'm just Pat, I'm just trying to survive. But I said to her this week, I need you to know how much I love you. How much you mean to all of us, to this place. Which made us cry, and we're two people that don't cry too easily. Now in Jackson's song, we hear him use the metaphor of a dance to show how a person can carry on after the death of someone you have loved dearly, celebrating their life by integrating all the lessons they've given you. He says, just do the steps you've been shown by everyone you've ever known until the dance becomes your very own. Which, if not lessening the sorrow, at least to me, gives the sorrow meaning. Because it shows us how much impact we have on each other. Nathan said, Pat, to me, echoing words I've heard every time each of us have danced with our own vulnerability, needing to ask for help. She said, it is not easy, a Thursday afternoon, she said, it's not easy to ask for help. But when I have, this church and their love, your love, has been beyond words. Which is why Jackson sings into a dancer you have grown from a seed somebody has thrown. Go ahead and throw some seeds of your own. And somewhere between the time you arrive and the time you go lies a reason you were alive. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, can he bring back the ABBA? So let's put the sorrow away. But what I want is for our dancing to put the sorrow to use. And this is what it looks like. The dance of commitment looks like, in the face of our losses, this is what it looks like. It looks like living with purpose to not let the annoyances of the day and our temper get the best of us. It looks like telling our family and our friends that we love them. It looks like simply appreciating the gift of a life and a day that has purpose. It looks like gliding across the dance floor as if big things are at stake. It looks like taking stands. It looks like not worrying so much all the time what people think of you. It looks like working as if time were short, because it is. Sorrow, my friends, is as much a part of the dance as joy is. Death is as much a part of the dance as life is. Thank God, because death gives life meaning, I believe. And religion, as Forest Church has said, is the dual response to being alive and then also having to die. So what will we do with our dance in between those two places is the biggest question. It's your question. It's my question. It's Pat's question. Can you dance with sorrow and your joy? Is the question. Meanwhile, Jackson's lyrics linger. Keep a fire for the human race. Let your prayers go drifting into space. You never know what will be coming down, but don't let the uncertainty turn you round. Go on and make a